Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, a passage of scripture you're very familiar with, simply says this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Man, just think of that. Victory. Victory in Jesus. My father's favorite song was Victory in Jesus. And when he passed away, we sang that. I know he would enjoy it. Victory in Jesus. How do we have victory in Jesus? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for the reading of your word. God, we thank you for the victory, Lord, that we have in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, I am ready. God, I thank you for the victory that he had in his life. And Lord, he says, not only to him, but to also all those who love the appearing of Christ. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I love sports. I'm not like Brother Perry. He don't like sports at all. That's what he told us in Sunday school. But, you know, I like sports, especially I like the Olympics. I don't care much a whole lot about the football and the basketball and baseball. And man, Brenda's a diehard fan, I know. But I love the Olympics because they compete against each other, and you've got the best of the world there running. And I think of the Olympics. I think of the victories that have been won. I can go back to, I think in Los Angeles, there was a guy that started out running the marathon, and somewhere along the line, he cramped up in his legs, and he could no longer run hardly, but he walked. And everybody else, I never forget it, the lights were turned down, and everybody had gone out of the stadium as he came into the stadium way, way late. Somebody asked, why didn't you just quit? Because he said, I didn't come here to quit. I come here to run a marathon. I finished the course. Man, I thought about that guy. What it took inside to continue on when everybody else was gone. Knowing there wasn't going to be a big crowd there to cheer him when he come in. Just an empty stadium, most of it dark. I think of the young man who was running the, I believe it was a mile or 2 mile, and as he was going down the track, he was thinking, probably going to win, but he had to pull up with a cramp in his leg or something popped in his leg, and he fell, and there on that pavement in tears, his father jumped over the rail and run to him and with loving arms put his arm around him and said, come on, son, we'll finish together. The thrill of not giving up but finishing the course. Man, I think the American little girl, I never will forget, Carrie Scruggs. America was going for gold, and man, she had practiced her jump and the vault, and she went down and she hit that. She went up in the air and beautiful motion. Come down on an ankle and just turned her ankle, and man, it was terrible. They were in the lead and she had put them there. Now she had one more vault. Man, with a messed up ankle. She couldn't hardly walk on it. And all the world was watching. Oh, the thrill of victory. Well, let's review Paul's life. In Paul's life, it was a gift of grace of life. And we see that Paul, here in this last passage of Scripture that he writes to Timothy, how he crosses the line, the finish line, in victory in his life. To win the victory, to be ready to win the victory, we've got to have experienced a great conversion. If you're going to say, I am ready, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to come home to meet you, whether it's now or this evening or a year from now, I'm ready. If you're going to say, I am ready, you must have experienced a great conversion, because if you're not saved, if you've never been redeemed, you've never been bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, you're not ready. If you die right now in a lost condition, you will spend an eternity separated from God, eternity in a place called hell. And folks, you're not ready for that. The Bible says it'll be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in a place that will never cease to torment your life. You can look over in Luke and see 5 seconds after a man's there in hell, he's praying, Lord, take me out of this place. And God says, I can't do it. Oh, I wish I could, but I can't do it. You chose to go there. You can't say, I'm ready, like Paul says, if you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I remember Paul was going down that Damascus road persecuting Christians when a light shone down from heaven. Light shone down from heaven, and Jesus says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Blinded Paul. He had a great salvation experience there on that road that day. And he got up and he went back and, you know, he started winning people to Jesus Christ in his life. He committed himself to Christ. I didn't get struck down by lightning. I didn't get struck down by a blinding light. But I know one thing, I was saved. I can remember the day. That was a great experience in my life. I never will forget the day that God's Holy Spirit was so convicting me, as I said in a church service that day, that he convicted me that I was lost. And I've told you many times, I had been baptized, I had grown up in church, my daddy was a song leader, I was a piano player, and I went to church all my life. Most people would have said, oh, that young man, he's saved. He's doing such a great work for the Lord. But inside I knew I was empty, inside I knew I was lost, inside I was hurting. And it was only when, by the power of the Holy Spirit and His conviction, that I said, Lord, You're the one I need in my life, that I stepped out by faith and I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I invited Him as Lord into my life. And that conversion experience, even though many times I have slipped away from God, many times I've done things that weren't pleasing to God, many times the old devil has come and tempted my life and different things, I can put my mind back and say, I know that I know that I know. That day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I know that I'm saved. And Paul, over the years, went back many times and he said, listen, I was on the road to Damascus. I was going there to persecute Christians, but Jesus Christ came down and blinded me, and I had a salvation experience. I was redeemed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that experience of salvation, of being redeemed, kept his feet on the ground and his focus on Jesus Christ all the rest of the days of his life. And let me tell you something. When you're saved, you know it. You ought to know it. You ought not say, well, I think I was saved. No, I know I was saved. You ought to know that this morning better than anything else in your life. You ought to know that you're saved. You belong to Jesus Christ. I didn't say you live a pure life always, but you ought to know that day that you were saved. I know three things. I know the day that I was saved, I was born again. Eastside Baptist Church, May 5th, 1975. I know that I got married to a wonderful woman, December the 2nd, 1972. 7 o'clock, Eastside Baptist Church. I know that I was called to the ministry. 1979 in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, in a hotel, I got on my knees before God and I cried like a baby and said, Lord, I will do anything you want me to do. I will go any place you want me to go. Just don't call me to this cold place here. It was below zero. You couldn't even get a cup of coffee outside. This old East Texas boy walked outside with a cup of coffee and it froze immediately. I went back in there and said, ma'am, this coffee's cold. And she laughed. She said, you went outside with it. She said, you're not from here, are you? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm from East Texas. And she said, we knew. When you walked out, you would be back. Because everybody up here knows when it's minus 5 degrees, you don't go outside with a cup of coffee because it's cold. Went back and got another cup of coffee and stayed in there and drank it. But you know, I know those things. Why do I know those things? Because those things affected my life in such a way. Man, I know when I was called to this church that this was the church for me. God said, this is the place I want you to serve. Paul knew that he experienced a great salvation. He says, listen, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. What day? That day right here that he was going to call him home. And he said, Timothy, I am ready, or already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure, it is at hand. He said, I know I'm ready for it. You know why he's ready for it? Because he anchored his soul in Jesus Christ. That's the reason. He settled his salvation, and he set his feet on the rock of Jesus Christ. And folks, when you settle your salvation and you get your feet on Jesus Christ and your soul is in Christ, Christ is in you, then folks, you know that you're ready. No matter what tomorrow brings, I know that I'm ready for it. I didn't say it would be easy. It's going to be difficult. This life is not easy. The Bible never says it'll be easy. But he says, I am ready for it. Because of Christ. So Paul experienced a great salvation. Then another thing, he embraced great convictions. He says, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. What was he talking about here? I have kept the faith. Now, you know what growth experts tell us if we're going to have a church today? Everybody wants a nice church. I know a lot of preachers that want a nice church. A nice church is one, they say, with a lot of programs going on. Everybody's busy. I know we have plenty of programs here. We've got children's programs. We've got choir programs. We've got young at heart programs. We've got all kinds of programs. But let me tell you something. You can provide programs all you want to. You can provide for the youth. You can provide for the children. You can provide for the families. But if you don't teach the people theology that is sound, based upon the Word of God, you just playing games. You're not teaching them to be ready. Paul says, I'm ready because I have embraced God's convictions. I know the Word of God, he says. It's in my life. It's in my heart. Folks, we need to take a stand upon God's Word and what the Word says. You know, what's wrong with our churches today? I guarantee you what's wrong with our churches today. We become liberal in taking a stand on things. Man, when it comes to abortion, half of our people say, oh, I'm for abortion. Half are not for abortion. Friends, what does the Bible say? Some people say, maybe I'm political, but man, you know, I don't care. I'm going to teach you the Word of God. What does the Bible say about abortion? What does it say about killing? What does it say about gambling? Oh, now, preacher, you're meddling there. You go down there and you buy those lottery tickets, you're supporting gambling. Folks, that's wrong. And half of our members go down and buy a lottery ticket. Oh, we just one little ticket, preacher. You're just leading to help the world go further down the slippery slope to hell. That's what you're doing. You're running your testimony. Pornography. Man. Homosexuality. It's wrong. It's wrong. All of these things. Alcohol. Man. We ought to try to vote it out of our city altogether. The only reason we don't vote it out of our city is half the Christians vote for it. It is sad. We want revival while we're in church. Oh, Lord, send revival. But I'm going to buy me a lottery ticket as soon as I get out of here. I'm going to go to get me some liquor when I get out of here. God's not going to send revival to our lives and to our churches if we're not taking a stand. You know, the popularity said, Paul, you're not very popular. But he took a stand. He took a stand because he had some conviction in Jesus Christ. Now, I know we ought to have programs, and I'm all for programs. I love our children's church. I love our children's programs. I love all that. I push for money for that. I push for money for our youth programs. We've got a great youth director and a great children's director and all of that. Our music programs, I'm for that. We've got to have those kind of things. And I'm not knocking those things. But if we don't have some theology, we don't have some Bible knowledge of what's right and what's wrong and some convictions in our life, that's all they are, programs. Our children leave. They've never been taught anything about what the world, or what's wrong out in the world. They go out there and the world says, all right, you don't have to get married anymore. You can just shack up with somebody. And they do. Because they've never been taught that that is wrong. It goes against the Word of God. Oh, it's a new generation. But God hasn't changed. His Word hasn't changed. He says it's a sin. And that sin is dragging our nation further and further and further down. Well, probably made some people mad by now, but that's all right. You need to hear the Word of God. He experienced a great salvation, and he embraced some great convictions. And look, he says, not only that, I have finished the course. He embarked upon a great course. I have finished. Paul believed that he had a purpose in life. You know what? I found out that people that don't have a purpose usually don't have a job. Usually don't have any money. You know why? Because they don't have a goal. They don't have a goal in life. Well, what's your goal in life? I don't know. I just want to sit at home and watch television. I ain't got no money. Will you loan me money? I'm not going to loan you money to sit home and watch television. Get up and go to work. That's what we all do. You see, but you've got to have a goal. People who have a goal want to bring themselves up out of the muck and the mire. You see? You ought to have a goal in life to run, a job to do. And I find out if people in church will say, you know what? God's got a purpose for my life. Man, when I found out God had a purpose for my life, it set me on a different course. I wanted to do all I could for him. Now, look at Paul's life. From the minute that he was saved, he began to serve God. And he was concerned about just one thing. I want to do the job well that God has given me to do. Folks, if you have that kind of attitude in life, Lord, I know you saved me. I know I'm under your conviction. I want to do well the job that you've got for me to do in life. And Paul was going down to Jerusalem, and people said, Paul, they're going to kill you down there in Jerusalem. They're going to throw you in jail down there in Jerusalem. What did he say? Listen to what he said, Acts 20. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God that he has committed unto me. He said, listen, this one thing I want to do, I want to finish the course that God has given me. I want to finish it with joy in my life. You see? I want to do what God has committed to me to do. He went down to Jerusalem because that's where God sent him. They put him in jail. The mob tried to kill him there, if you understand the story. But the soldiers protected him down there. You know, I read in the Bible that these Jews, they made a pact. They were not going to eat until they killed him. They all died of starvation. They stoned old Paul. They left him under a pile of rocks. He come up out of those rocks, shook the dust off of him, and kept on preaching the gospel. Why? God was not through with him yet. He hadn't finished the course. He was in a storm on the way to Rome. The ship wrecked. He stood before the people and said, listen, not a one of us is going to perish. Why? Because I spoke to the Lord. The Lord spoke to me, he said, and told me that you'd all be all right. Just do what I say. Prisoner telling others how to stay alive. Man, God wasn't through with him yet. And on and on and on, we see that in the Word of God, God spared Paul's life. Because why? God wasn't through with him yet. You know what? I believe that one reason I'm still here today, that I'm still breathing today, the main reason is God is not through with me yet. And the reason you're still living today is because God is not through with you yet. You see, God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a door for you to knock on, a person for you to talk to that only you can. And I honestly believe when your time is up, God will take you. What are you supposed to be doing in your life? What is the purpose for your life right now? What is God's will for your life? You get in the center of that will, and you present yourself to God in that will, and he will protect you. He will shield you until your purpose in life is finished. You know, I've been to some places where, man, my life wasn't worth a plug nickel. I don't know what a plug nickel is, really, huh? Daddy always say that. Boys, y'all not worth a plug nickel. That's when he was mad at us. Other times he just loved us, and all Daddy always loved us. But he would tell us sometimes, boy, I don't know where you learned that. I don't know what you were thinking. You know, we do that when we messed up. And I'm glad he was a father that loved our kids, or he'd have killed us a long time ago. Because we did some stupid things in life. And I said one time, Daddy, I said, how come you didn't spank us for that? He said, because I did the same thing. You have to live and learn sometimes. And I hope you learned. Well, you know what? Paul believed that if he stayed in God's will, he would protect you and he would shield you. And folks, God, he protects you. He watches over you. How many of you just think about it and said, man, that was a close call, but I lucked out. You didn't look out. God wasn't ready for you yet. You see, I believe God is controlling your life. And he's saying, here, I want you to go this direction. And you're saying, oh, no, I want to go on here. He's got his perfect will for you, and he's got all these other things. And a lot of times we settle for second best, don't we? And God lets you go. He'll let you go down that old second best road if you want to. But he really wants you to come back over here and do what he has for you to do in your life. If you're disobedient to God, his chastising gets pretty stiff sometimes, don't it? His correcting, that's the reason parents, you know, you've got to correct your kids. Oh, you know, I thought at the time, mother said, Edwin, you're going to kill them boys. And I remember his words, Janie, I'm not going to kill them, I'm just going to bring them close to death. I was close to death several times. But you know what? It taught me a lot of things in life. It taught me not to do those wrong things. You know, I was hard-headed. Mother said, you must have a head like a hickory nut. Y'all country people, you know what a hickory nut is. Man, they're hard to break. I was hard to break, but Daddy did it. And you know what? I thank God for Daddy. I love him even now. I remember the things he told me. Yes, the punishment was hard, but I knew that he loved us. And I didn't backtalk my adults. I said, no, sir, yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, thank you, please, all of those things, because he taught me. And if you don't say those things, you're going to get it when you get home. I didn't talk in church. I did, but I got a whipping when I got home. You see, those things were just set grounds. You know you're training, and Paul says, listen, I'm going to finish the course that God has given me because I've got convictions. I've got training. God's corrected him many times. And folks, he experienced a great salvation, and I pray this morning, if you're here and you've never experienced that great salvation, you will experience that this morning. Don't leave this place without Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place not knowing that you're saved. That you ought to know. You ought to embrace the Word of God. You ought to embrace the convictions of God. And you ought to embark on the course that God has set for your life. How do I know the will of God? Well, you start doing the will of God, and the will of God will make known to you what the will is. I didn't ever dream that I would be a preacher. Some people say I'm not to this day. But listen, I never dreamed in North Dakota that he would call me to preach. I went up there for a revival. I went up there to lead singing. And on the way, I knew that the Holy Spirit was convicting me of something. I just didn't know what it was. But when I got on my knees that night and said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Then he began to show me what he wanted me to do. And I didn't feel right about doing anything else but what God wanted me to do. That's embarking on a course that he set for me in my life. And then Paul engaged in a great conflict. Remember the story of the young girl I talked about in the Olympics carrying drugs? She hurt her foot on that vault, jammed that ankle clean down into the bone, and knew instantly something was wrong. Her old coach knew something was wrong. And I believe it went like this. Carrie, she said to the coach, Coach, I just can't make that last vault. I can't make it. And her coach looked at her, and I remember a big old fellow right now, and he said, we've got one more vault, and you've got to do it. One more vault. And he told her what all good coaches tell their team, shake it off. Shake it off. Well, how can you shake an ankle off that's swollen up and twisted and you can't hardly walk? She said, I can't. And she was in tears. I never will forget that. I can't, coach. I can't do it. And that old coach looked at her and says, you can. You can do it. Well, she went on to do it. She made that one last run down that thing on that bad ankle. Hit that vault, went up in the air, beautiful. Came down, hit on those 2 feet, and immediately she's standing where she was on that one leg. Wasn't the goal, because she knew she could do it in her mind. Her legs, most people would say, you can't do that. It was messed up. When they got it all settled, they toted her off. But they won the gold medal. Her saying was, she said, please, God, let me do it one more time. And he did. A little bitty girl won the gold medal. You know what? I think Paul had that kind of mentality. I will not quit till I run the race that God has set for me. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to finish the course. And folks, the battle is on. He stood up and he was counted for Christ. Will you stand up today? Will you stand up for truth? Will you stand up for righteousness? You see, our churches are declining all across America because Christians will not stand up for truth and righteousness. They're not finishing the course. Paul was engaged in a conflict, but he fought to the finish. Well, he experienced a great salvation. He embraced great convictions. He embarked on a great course. He engaged in a conflict. And what's left? What's left? He earned a crown of righteousness. He earned that crown of righteousness. Look what it says. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. What day? The day he's coming home, folks. You know, Paul was a winner. Paul was a winner because he had a great hope beyond this life. Listen, I'm looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My hope is not down here. My home's not down here. My hope is in Christ Jesus. If all I've got to look forward to the things down here, man, it's miserable, isn't it? It's miserable. Timothy, he said, I'm ready. It's moving day for me. Timothy, I'm going to meet the Lord. But Timothy, don't worry about me, for I'm going to receive a crown of righteousness. You know, we all cry hallelujah and glory in churches. Every time things are going well, we praise God. But let me tell you something. It's the finish that matters. I have finished the course. I have accomplished the work that God has given me to do. Now, that's the thrill of victory. That's living the victorious life, folks. When you finish the course that God has given you to do, then that's the victory. You haven't won. If you go through all of these things and you come to the end of life and you haven't done anything, oh, you got salvation. But how would you like to go before God and stand before God and he says, you know what? You're saved, but you didn't do a thing with what I gave you. You didn't finish the course. You didn't run well. You didn't even try. You just sat in church and did nothing. You know, someone wrote this, a sportscaster wrote this. When the great score comes to write against your name, it'll not matter whether you won or lost, but how did you play the game? Paul Powell once said, I love Paul Powell's books. I come from Tyler, and I knew Paul Powell, and Paul is a great preacher. Paul Powell said this one time, when you're out picking cotton, you can take a long road around this way to get to the cotton gin, or you can take the shortcut to go straight over the mountain and get there quicker. But you know, when you get to the cotton gin, they're not going to ask you, how did you get here? They're going to ask you how good your cotton is. When you come to the end of life, I don't think the Lord is going to say, are you Baptist? Did you come from Gun Barrel City? No. He's not going to ask none of that. He's going to say, what did you do with what I've given you? How good's your cotton? How well did you run? You may be like that steward that didn't do anything. Oh, Lord, I just hid my money. I hid my talents in the ground because I knew you was a hard man. Take it away from him and give it to somebody. You know, the Bible says those who are given much, much is expected. My son was talking about China. Over there, some of them even never have heard the name of Jesus, he said. When they stand before God and they've never heard the name of Jesus, it's going to be harder, the Bible says, on you that's heard the name of Jesus in America and still have rejected him than those who have never heard and rejected him. I believe there's going to be different degrees in heaven and in hell. What have you done with what God has given you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want the thrill of victory in our life. Lord, we want to grow. We want to experience all that you have blessed us with. And God, there's those here this morning, they don't know if they've been saved even. Lord, if they're not sure about their salvation, this morning, let us get it right. They may have went to church all their life, just like I did, but have never really given their life to Christ. I know the old devil's hard on them and tempting them to say, nobody knows, you don't want to go up there. But Lord, if they're lost, they need to come. They need to experience that great salvation. They need to embark on a great course. They need to finish that course. Lord, let them come this morning. Lord, pray that we'll commit our lives to you all the way to the end. And Lord, if there's someone here looking for a church home, there's someone here that's need to rededicate their life to Christ or for salvation, let them come before it's too late. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.